Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
What's going on in America right now? We have so many changes going on, all of which Jim and I are going to chat about during this particular opening segment. We're also going to talk about, we're going to opine about what's going on in our country during the close also. It's like everybody thinks that, not everybody, but the Democrats sure think that everything is going good right now. And I have to tell you, Big Al could not agree, or I should say disagree more. Jimmy, how about you?
No, I think it's just absolutely catastrophic what we're seeing happen on a daily basis. The violence, the problems at the border, the fentanyl problem, the foreign policy issues, the Ukraine war, the Russia-Ukraine war, issues with South Korea, of course, the Afghanistan pullout. So many issues, not even to mention the economic impact and, of course, the potential, the failure of numerous banks, but the potential failure of more, and the U.S. losing its leadership role in global currency. There's many, many, many things that we're facing right now in just a rapid period of time, in a very short period of time since the Biden administration has come to power.
Jim, I got to tell you, the one thing that scares me the most is we have a Wall Street Journal reporter who's in a cell in Russia right now. And the general opinion, interestingly enough, even of the very, very conservative press, is because of the relationship between the United States, we would advise Biden to really not push the Russians regarding this fellow. And I feel really bad about that. That would have never happened in the past, Jim.
Well, certainly not under the Trump administration. And, you know, it's hard to judge what the Obama team would do because, in fact, they were spying on journalists. And if they were journalists that were against their agenda, then it probably wouldn't care much about it. If it was a journalist that was for their agenda, then they probably would take action against it. But the problem is we have with absolutely no coherent foreign policy in Ukraine or with Russia right now. The Biden administration is flailing to have influence and impact. There is no clear objective public policy objective that's been stated on what the U.S. and what Ukraine will even achieve if we continue to just fund openly this conflict, other than more death and destruction.
Yeah.
There's no plan that's been put forward by the United States for a peace negotiation process. There is absolutely no strategy that anybody can find except for failure. And that's incredibly damaging right now to credibility. In conjunction with the economic problems we're facing, in conjunction with the social issues that are just so disturbing to watch, the violence and the crime and the border issues and the fentanyl deaths, it's becoming very, very problematic for even people that are not touched by it directly. They're seeing it, and that hopefully will open up people's eyes.
Jim, let me ask you a question. You've seen all of this in person during your career, boots on the ground, et cetera, et cetera. If you were the man in charge, Jimmy, what would you do right now?
Well, there's a lot of things that I would do differently. And the first one is I would do accountability and question what we're doing in Ukraine. I mean, there needs to be a clear set of policies that have long-term implications, and I'd take that leadership role back. I'd certainly cut back on the regulations on the U.S. Energy development because we need to get back to self-independence and to reduce the prices of fuel. I would shut the border down immediately, and I would force return to Mexico policies, and I'd very much pressure both the Mexicans and the Canadians, those governments, to say, you better stop the flow into here because that's going to have an economic impact for our partnership in the long-term future. Those were basic issues. I would be very hard over on the Chinese at this point because we definitely have a growing problem that could undermine all of Western civilization if it's not addressed soon.
Generally, let me ask you about something that I think is incredibly important, something I noticed that was brought out, interestingly enough, by the liberal news folks. How do you feel about, and they didn't endorse this, I have to say, but how do you feel about funds, major funds coming from outside of America, from non-American citizens supporting liberal causes. I don't mean just supporting in terms of, you know, a few dollars. I mean millions of dollars supporting liberal causes. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's absolutely, well, one, it's against the law, certainly for political donations. Oh, we know. And we actually saw from this week, and if anybody, our listeners, haven't looked at it, they should look at the O'Keefe Media Group report from Maryland, where it shows literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of donations being funneled through small donors that had no idea that money was being, their name was being used to, right, to send money to this program, right, or to the, what the group is, Act Blue. That is absolutely illegal, and we don't know where that money's coming from at this point. There needs to be a massive investigation on this in order to figure it out, because we are facing a tremendous influence from external forces that are absolutely dividing America right now.
You bet.
And
they are.
And they're threatening the sovereignty of this nation, but we have an administration that is, in my view, so corrupted and so incompetent that they're unable to see it, and their reactions are incredibly slow, because I don't really think they're legitimate leadership at all at this point.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. What about the financial support that came in during the election for the prosecutor in Manhattan? What about that? Any comments?
Well, I think it's quite interesting that Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, publicly campaigned on his efforts to find a crime against Donald Trump, that he would search that out, and was elected on that.
Yeah, you were.
We do know that George Soros helped fund his campaign. We do know that George Soros funded a large number of dense urban areas, minority areas, prosecuting attorney campaigns, and have really put in place prosecutors that have failed to uphold the law. Now, this guy Alvin Bragg, he's absolutely making a mockery of the system with this indictment of Donald Trump. We'll see where it turns out. I don't believe it's going to go well for him. But again, that does not matter for these people. They don't care. They're willing to do anything in order to achieve their political ends. And they're pushing it so far that they've forgotten that their goal and their role is actually to protect the people of the United States. Certainly, Alvin Bragg has failed to protect the people of New York by allowing large numbers, like roughly 50% of these cases, serious cases, he's let people out of jail and has not prosecuted them. And then many of them have gone back to recommit crimes. Very, very dangerous. And of course, focusing on a political action like this against Donald Trump is something like it's out of a book no one would believe, 10 years ago, but now we're living it in real time. It's so corrupt.
Yeah, I want you to think about what I'm about to say, and I want to get a comment from you during the next segment, which is coming up in about a minute, but not quite a minute. CNN came out and claimed that they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that no funds were given in favor of Bragg for his election by George Soros. And they claimed that was proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm not so sure.
Well, first of all, CNN has said a lot of things that turned out to be 100% false. They've been known to lie on numerous occasions. And of course, the direct contributions and the way this money is funneled is through corporations and nonprofits,
right,
that actually aren't directly related to it. So CNN may be able to say indirectly, but their credibility is so far down in that.
Jimmy, time for a break. We got to address this issue in the next segment. Hang on, you guys.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, good to have you guys back. Time for KER Politics. Love to be talking to everybody, especially all you folks on the radio stations. Had a little bit of a delay in recording today in the sense that we stopped and watched all the latest developments going on around the country. Boy, I got to tell you, we are major in trouble in the United States. And no, I'm not just talking about the indictment for former President Trump. I'm talking about all the other things that are going on right now. The woke investments that have been called into question is very important. Certainly, if you live in Mississippi, the hurricane down there is also very important, and it goes on and on and on. If you go to George Mason University, the demonstrations that are going on right now are also very important. And then on top of that, we have next Tuesday coming up. Well, at least the prosecutors have the decency not to cuff former President Trump. Jimmy, give me an opinion about everything that's going on, would you?
Yeah, I think we've reached crazy town.
Yeah, it's crazy town, big time.
Yeah, I think we've crossed the threshold. I mean, we've had a problem for a long time of different federal agencies and government and law enforcement getting involved in politics.
That's right.
We've had a real problem with crime and some of these policies that have been pushed by the left. And they're all coming home to roost right now. We are seeing a significant increase of crime. We're seeing these massive inflows across the border, huge fentanyl crisis of over 100,000 people that died from overdoses, about 70% of those from fentanyl.
Yep.
A lot of it is from precursor elements that come from China and then potentially made in Mexico or made in China and actually in some cases mailed in, but often coming across the border in mass quantities. We're facing.
I learned last night that most of the fentanyl appears to be made in China.
Quite a bit of it, and if it isn't directly made in China, the precursor elements that are used to make it are actually sold in China. And once again, here's a tremendous effort to undermine safety, stability, and security of the American people. And we have a government right now in charge that's failing to take any action over it.
Well, certainly down on the southern border. Now, according to Fox, all the attention is going to the northern border, which is totally not dangerous. But even they did interview some of the border guards up there, and they all said the process which the government regulations have to adhere to are very anti-American.
Yeah, the unfortunate reality is that the executive branch of the government and the Democratic Party in particular really want to see a demographic change in America. And so what they're doing is they're pushing this agenda. It was very successful in changing California from a red state when I was young to a blue state and a hard blue state.
Yeah.
We're looking at the problems that that creates. And of course, one party rule, economics, businesses leaving, people actually moving out of the state, high taxes, the highest level of poverty in the country, in California. And of course, they've been surviving on the tax revenues from big tech corporations. But of course, in some of those cases, they're moving away.
Yep.
And a lot of small businesses are being crushed. But people, for some reason in California, haven't woken up to that. They don't realize it. And of course, that's partly because most of the conservatives are trying to get out of the state as quickly as possible.
You know, they really are. I have to tell you, normally we devote the final segment on the show to, you know, something that we felt was important that, you know, happened during the show. We give it more attention during the final segment. But I want to say, I really want to opine with you, Jimmy, on the macro subject of what the heck's going on in America and why is it going on. The liberal folks, you know, God bless them, I mean, they're human beings, but they are actually going to extremes to really, I would have to say, in my opinion, kind of make the country, people in the country stop and think.
Well, you hope that people will stop and think. But yeah. Again, you know, we've repeated this. I've repeated this many times.
I know you
if
have.
They don't have the information, they won't they don't know even what to think. And of course, that's what you can see happening in California, because the media outlets and the you know, the information methodologies there very much restrict any news that would counter the narratives and the arguments that that the Democrats and the progressives are making. We're seeing that on a national level. We're seeing it on a global level. And of course, the tech giants and the people that influence information through censorship has been very, very powerful. And what, you know, the real crux to the problem, there's three, I'll just repeat this. I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's three fundamental objectives that Democrats have been pushing for a while.
Yep.
The first one is demographic change. They want more voters that are dependent upon them, and that's why they love this influx of minorities, and they push the minority and the racial issues so strongly.
Well, Jimmy, we've been saying that for a very long time now, and you know what I have to say? When I was watching Fox this morning for about an hour, I have to say, from what Fox has to say, the Democrats are winning, Jim.
Well, they're definitely allowing massive amounts of inflows across the border. It's unbelievable, the increase. And of course, Mayorkas, the Homeland Secretary of Homeland Security, was under grueling testimony this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's one way. That's one issue, is the demographic change. The second issue is the use of government agencies, and including Department of Justice, the FBI, law enforcement agencies, and certainly regulatory agencies, in order to push agendas and use regulation to stifle and crush people's ability to stand up or even, you know, argue against what they're doing. And you're seeing it with, you know, the suppression of free speech. You're seeing it with law enforcement and this arrest of Donald Trump, or at least this indictment of Donald Trump by the Manhattan DA, Bragg, shows very clearly using the tools of law enforcement as a method to intimidate and silence political opposition.
Amazing.
And the third technique that has been very important and a big strategy for the Democratic Party is basically controlling the message and the narrative, using the media, where the relationships that they developed, using the editorial boards, and using the tech companies to silence opposition through using, you know, tools, not only AI, but other software tools to suppress information, if not directly stop it, that might counter the narrative and might counter the left's narrative. And then actually using the same tools, the media information, to discredit others by providing either false information or damning information that makes that has little real importance from a national scale, but really distracts people.
Yeah.
And we're seeing quite a bit of that. So the three issues, changing the
and Jimmy, I got to bet you they're all related to politics.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Time for segment 7 and the second half of the KER Politics Report. We're a little bit angry today because of some of the things that are going on in our country. And believe it or not, we're not just talking about the Trump indictment. And I'll get into that later. Jimmy, you want to wrap up some comments that you started to make prior to this segment?
Yeah, so it's very hard to judge. You know, we talk about George Soros's influence,
right.
And you talk about, you know, in a democratic system, typically people have, and there you ideally want a lot of different views, right? And you want different arguments and people to use, you know, to be able to participate in the process,
right?
And that we come to balance usually with that type of agenda. But what George Soros does and what Act Blue and what some of these organizations do, they actually don't want to negotiate. They don't want to talk. They want to silence opposition. They want to put in place agendas that they believe are the right agenda, but I think often it is actually a politically motivated agenda, and it often has to do with financial gain and needs. And of course, we've talked a lot about corporate influence, and a lot of corporations donate to these causes because if they don't donate to them, they're afraid these causes will attack them. They'll sue them, or they'll go in massive public campaigns against them. And that actually really takes away a democratic republic and takes away a process, especially if the opposition doesn't understand the fight that's going on. And that's what I say is failing, the failings of the Republican Party right now, is many of the so-called, quote, conservative Republicans, Mitt Romney's, Tom Tillis, some of these people, Mitch McConnell, they do not understand that the entire fabric of our nation and the fundamental rule of law are being undermined. And mostly, I believe, is because they're listening to big donors and advisors and staff that live inside a bubble inside Washington and are unable to see what's happening with the massive influence of the tech industry, the massive influence of artificial intelligence that's coming out so quickly, so rapidly. They don't understand the problems with the border because the Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, actually wants more cheap labor into the system because the United States needs labor. There are many influences out there, and unfortunately, if you live in that Washington bubble, you make huge mistakes. I think Lindsey Graham did a phenomenal one the other day on Jesse Waters, if you haven't seen that.
Yeah, he really did. It's amazing when a guy, and I happened to hold Lindsey Graham prior to this. I held him in, pretty high esteem. I thought he was a pretty clear thinker, and I thought he was pretty unbiased. But when an interview that we did not post on our site proved that he doesn't even read the legislation in some cases that he endorses, my opinion went way down, Jim.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. And that's actually the case with most legislators inside Congress. They have staffers. Those staffers live in a strange bubble. They live up there. They work up there. Maybe they come from home. Maybe they're, in Washington. They're interns, whatever. And they shape policy. Yeah. And that actually is who you're listening to when you hear a lot of the discussion out there. You're not actually hearing the voice of the individuals, the congressmen or the senators, because they're actually not speaking. They're reading something that someone else wrote for them based on policy decisions. And if you're getting most of your information from the Washington Post, from the New York Times, from ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, you are being shaped and influenced by powerful media efforts, and you don't understand actually what's negatively happening in this nation right now. And that's what we're seeing. And Lindsey Graham was a tremendous embarrassment for him personally, and he admitted online that he didn't know what he was talking about when he was talking about this Restrict Act and how it would actually be much more damaging potentially than even the Patriot Act that has created the conditions that law enforcement and intelligence agencies have been spying on Americans for a long time. And what he did is, he said, hey, these things couldn't happen. And Jesse Waters said, hey, wait a second, you're endorsing this bill. And he's like, I wouldn't endorse that. And he says, you're on the list for it. It was incredibly embarrassing, but it does show the weakness of our system right now.
Well, I think it shows a weakness, and quite frankly, as Jerry out of the box, which is his handle for Skype, when he said, I'm getting tired of just trashing the liberals, because in many cases, the conservatives are just as bad. And you just gave a great example of that, Jim.
Well, again,
he calls the government, quote unquote, the two-headed snake. And I'm at the point where I agree with that, Jim. I'm very disappointed in what's going on, and I'll get into that in the next segment.
Again, most people in the country don't understand because they are fed pablum, baby food, from corporate media. Corporate media is driven by a handful of editors and executives. Those editors and executives have very clearly sided with the Democratic agenda. They're influenced, they're bought, they're paid for. And that actually has a very negative effect on overall population's knowledge of what's happening out there. And oh, by the way, the government has been involved with these organizations and these tech companies to silence and censor people that question their agenda. That is full on tyranny. That is full on the foundations of a authoritarian rule. And it's absolutely against the Constitution of the United States. Yet some of our elected officials, even conservative elected officials, don't realize it because they don't know the game that's afoot right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, enough, most people, I have to say, and this doesn't include the audience of this show because we are complicated enough, and I hate to use that word, you know, that a lot of people don't even understand what we're talking about some of the time. But I got to tell you, it is very, very interesting what's going on in America right now. And I'm not necessarily a gloom and doomer. You know, I think when all of this comes to roost, you know, when the dust settles, I think we're going to be a stronger country. I have a lot of faith right now, and this really covers both sides of the aisle. I have a lot of faith in Americans as human beings. Maybe not all, but as a family, which we are, I do have a lot of faith in us. I think we're going to go the right way eventually.
I think it's going to be what happens usually historically is we go to these ups and downs, and unfortunately, yeah, we hit a very painful bottom point before people start to wake
we
up.
We did. Jimmy, I want to talk about one other thing. I don't know if we even have enough time in this segment to do it, but a lot of the banks have been criticized severely by attorneys generals of actually up to 21 states of their policies, their investment policies. They say that, you know, a lot of the companies that they invest in, that they invest in them because they really fall into the woke category. And the attorneys generals are saying oftentimes these companies are so silly, they make terrible investments. And they kind of implied that the Silicon Valley Bank was a good example of that. Any comments, Jim? We got a minute left, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's all right. I think we ought to roll this into the next segment as well. But yes, clearly, Silicon Valley Bank had a very problematic investment strategy.
Yeah.
And it was basically, it's like any woke project that you wanted to go with. And when I say woke, I mean some social agenda or tech company startup.
Right.
They threw money at it. Yeah. And then, of course, Signature Bank in New York was very similar. Both of those problems.
It was. Jimmy, let's take a break right now. We're going to go into the summary, the final segment of the Corlin Political Report. Stick around. Here to wrap up the Corlin Economics Report. You know, it sounds like we are doing nothing but spewing gloom and doom. And I kind of wanted to talk about some of the events in this segment because I don't think we are. I think some of our comments, if not all of our editorials, and this show is basically made up of four editorials, all of our editorials are very well thought out, and they're not just negative emotionalism. I have too much faith in America to just talk about negative emotionalism. As I said in the last segment, I got a lot of time for the American people. It's my family, and I love them all. I think we're going to get on solider footing very soon here. Jimmy, what do you think?
I think we have to get past some big hurdles. And unfortunately, as I mentioned previously, usually there's a big trough, you know, there's a big dip, and then it's often painful. You know, sometimes that ends up being World War I or World War II. That is devastating. And certainly we see this massive war in Europe right now. I do want to finish up from the last segment. We were talking about Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank.
Yeah.
And their investment strategies and policies. So I tend to agree with you, Al, that people are beginning to wake up that this ideology that ESG, environmental social governance, should dictate how you invest your money will end up being kind of pushed back against, because you're actually taking away the free market process. You're putting in place authoritarian kind of, when you have a regulatory environment that says you can only invest in certain things or certain ways, then that actually takes away the market's flexibility. When you don't have the flexibility in the market, then obviously you have significant problems. And that's basically why the Soviet Union collapsed, because they did not have the flexibility in their markets. Oh. It was a very corrupt system. And as you have more regulation, people buy out of the system or put earmarks to keep them out because they have a lot of influence or money, a particular company or corporation, to protect their interests, while others, the competitors or potentially other industries, don't get the same advantages. And that ends up becoming very problematic in competition. And so I do see that eventually you're going to find more pushback against these investment agendas. You're going to see pushback from people because inflation hasn't gone down. We're still above 6%. There's a good chance with the energy prices going up, we're going to face even more. We're probably going to face shortages. We're definitely moving into a recessionary period at some point, in my view. If we haven't been already because of manipulated numbers, we haven't really, accepted that. Certainly the first two quarters of 2022, that was a lie. Unemployment is facing, or employment levels are facing challenges, both in shortage of labor and, of course, in the markets themselves. Certainly the tech industry has had a significant drop in employees. When you have this ChatGPT, my son actually develops AI, and he has scientists or engineers that work for him. He's kind of a chief scientist at AWS. Amazon Web Services, and he's been able to use some of these AI systems to help identify engineering solutions that may, in fact, in a short period of time, mean he doesn't need engineers, and potentially wouldn't even need his job as well. So there's going to be a huge wake-up call for all these people that wanted to be, software engineers and developers. And those are high paying jobs in Silicon Valley, but they're so high paying that they're not competitive if you have a technology that will actually do the work for you. That's what we're facing, a huge challenge right now, economic challenge, and it's coming on us so rapidly, people do not realize it.
Well, I know it's coming on rapidly. I watched an interview with a fellow who just made a breakthrough in artificial intelligence. And the fellow who was interviewing him said, "How do you feel about that?" And he said, "This thing is so big it scares the daylights out of me." Now, I don't know what brought on that comment, but that is pretty thought-provoking.
Well, again, so people, and you can see very clearly with ChatGPT and Bing, the different AI systems you can mess around with at this point.
Yeah.
They're shaping people's minds, right? And people are responding. And when you look and you put questions in there that may be politically or socially challenging, they come up with a very progressive response. That's going to shape information for people. We already face censorship, but what happens when people are depending on these types of systems to give them information? That information is geared and shaped for a particular agenda. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate reality that we're facing. And it's happening so quickly and it's moving so rapidly that it will completely undermine our economy and undermine individuals' lives, but they don't realize it at this point. And of course, we've got the Terminator scenario where, it actually takes over and creates, major, catastrophic problems with nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
That of course, who knows what will happen there, and I don't know if that's the case. But what I do know is that most of the defense systems in the West depend on very sophisticated technologies.
Yeah.
The Department of Defense have been investing massively in this type of technology, and it will drive our systems and what happens when they fail, if they're manipulated, or they're cracked or broken, and we're fighting someone that has the same type of a thing, you know, with the Chinese. And this could get very ugly for humanity very quickly. At the same time, it turns us into a bunch of idiots that just ask the computer to answer all our questions for us. I think it's incredibly dangerous.
Well, I'll tell you what's getting to be incredibly dangerous, in my opinion, are some of the student demonstrations that are going on. Very quickly, I watched one that occurred today at George Washington University. Very, very violent demonstration. I believe it was in one of the classrooms, and the students were throwing punches at each other. That's how bad it got. And what it was started by the fact that that the university wanted to have the governor as the governor of the state as a keynote speaker, and he's very conservative. And so there were a group of pro-life students there and a group of pro-choice students there. The pro-lifers obviously fell into the category of being conservative. The pro-choicers fell into the category, obviously, of being very liberal. These kids were so tied up in this particular scenario that physical violence on both parts ensued, and that bothers me, Jim, a lot.
Well, it's happening all over the country, and it's been happening significantly since 2020 in the George Floyd riots that were exacerbated and actually influenced by Democratic leaders that encouraged them. And that violence has really continued to go based on a political agenda in order to undermine the previous administration.
Well,
dividing this nation.
Yeah.
Over, and they're using violence and threats of force while simultaneously blaming those types of actions against white supremacy and making racial charges,
right,
which factually makes absolutely no sense. But many people are bound and influenced by this information technology and the media corporate entities that actually are pushing these agendas. And once again, I will go back to how damaging that potentially is and how much influence you talk about Marxist ideology, the Chinese, and of course what others are doing in order to achieve power and protect their financial interests.
Well, Jimmy, the thing that really bothers me is I'm a pretty nonviolent guy, as you know, and the violence, you know, people have already gotten killed during some of these demonstrations, and I hate for America to close out its history on that type of tone. I just think it's silly. Jimmy, you can talk about anything you want. We got
just about 20 seconds left.
20 seconds left. Wrap it up, Jim.
So I do think that many people are beginning to wake up, and the fear will be there, and we're going to have to probably suffer some pain before we make significant changes. But hopefully, we'll have leaders that step up and make the right calls, do the right things for the American people based on interest, not on the destruction of our system. And unfortunately, too many right now are wanting the destruction of our system.
I agree 1,000%. God bless you, Jim. And ladies and gentlemen, come on back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report. Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
During the first segment, I should say segment number 5, which is the first segment on KER Politics, We talked about potential funding, significant potential funding, which has been denied by CNN from the Soros folks for a lot of the elections that are going on right now, that have gone on to put people into power, specifically the election for the fellow in Manhattan who actually called for the prosecution of Trump.
Yeah, so here's what the New York Times, you know, not a right-wing paper, and the Rolling Stone are reporting, that in 2021, a group called Color of Change.
Right.
Now, that's an activist group that has been supporting a lot of these left-wing progressive prosecutors who have been focused on social justice rather than real justice. They endorsed Bragg.
Yeah, they did.
Soros gave Color of Change $1 million after the group endorsed Bragg, and the group, the Change of Color intended to use that money to help Bragg, and it looks like, according to Election Commission data, they spent over $500,000 supporting Bragg. So, along with other candidates that they believe would achieve their social justice policies. Now, this is happening around the country. So again, it's not a direct relationship, although apparently there is a direct relationship with some members of the Soros family donating to Bragg. But clearly, you're seeing a move with a lot of money in order to support these prosecutors. Is it directly George Soros? Indirectly, it definitely is George Soros. And directly, in some cases, it's George Soros and his programs. So, you know, attempting to deny that is very interesting. But when you go back to what happened with the O'Keefe Media Group, and I'll recommend everybody take a look at the videotape from Maryland this last week from James O'Keefe, the former the guy that opened up Project Veritas. He went on an investigation in Maryland, and he identified where Act Blue, one of these big network Democratic donor organizations, were actually getting donations from people, small donors, in the level of maybe 30 a day at $5 and $15, sometimes unbelievable amounts of money from people that never actually donated the money, and in some cases $180,000, $250,000 in one egregious case. And the people, James O'Keefe, actually talked to the individuals and they said, did you know donate this money? And they're saying, no, he would never, we don't have that kind of money, though they supported the policies. So what it looks like, what the evidence shows, is that ActBlue and Democratic large donors are attempting to hide big donor donations by splitting them up into very small amounts and then using regular donor names and addresses in order to launder that money into campaigns. That's the problem we're facing in America. And if the Federal Election Commission and the Department of Justice do not investigate it, we have lost control of our election system completely.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question. Colors of Change was mentioned this morning frequently on Fox for a number of causes. What I would like to know is, do they support only liberal causes, or are they pretty much supporting just kind of everything that they think makes sense?
Oh, no, this is a very progressive social justice organization.
Okay. So for woke policies, for example, they are 100% behind them. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're instigating many of these programs. So it's a very progressive nonprofit. Okay. They call themselves a civil rights advocacy organization. But what they're doing is using their tools and the nonprofit operations in order to fund political change and agendas,
yeah.
Even though it's a nonprofit 501c3. Actually, it's a 501c4 that should be only partially involved in politics,
yeah.
Not all of their efforts. But we're seeing this over and over again. You've seen it with the Acorn Group under the Obama administration. You've seen it with Act Blue in this latest reporting. You've seen it in massive amounts of money that is flowing into campaigns that is being divvied up by some of these left-wing organizations, Southern Poverty Law Center, for example, where they're making accusations, and they're very progressive. Yeah. They're absolutely undermining the credibility in the system in order to have power, to using their money and influence to have power. And many major corporations are donating to these groups, like BLM, in order to influence or to avoid, actually to avoid being attacked by those same organizations.
Jimmy, I got a question for you. Is there anything at all that they have supported? Or let's even take it one step farther. Is there anything at all that the Soros family has supported that makes sense to you?
Look, I was back in the Republic of Georgia in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And he was very involved in funding efforts to shape democracy in different places to try to help in some of these former Soviet countries, Eastern Bloc countries. But for the most part, it appeared that what he was doing, as I learned more information, and from an intelligence perspective, I can't go into details,
right,
but he's influencing efforts in order to achieve financial power and influence over those areas. And of course, we know that what he almost did is tank the British sterling, the currency there,
yeah,
in order to make a fortune. And I know for a fact he did it with other former East Bloc nations as they were integrating into Western economies in order to, because he made a lot of money trading currencies in order to influence,
sure,
and to influence markets in order to make a fortune. And then at that same time, he's been very involved in undermining different countries and different leaders over there based on his political agendas. So, way too much power, way too much influence. I don't know if anything has actually been in a positive light, but there is some potential for him to do. There was potential at one time where people thought he was doing well, but I think at this point, that's a complete misnomer.
How long ago did your opinion and other people's opinion change on the direction that he was going in?
Oh, from me, my perspective, I mean, I didn't really trust him from the beginning, and I didn't trust some of the people who worked for him because I worked with a couple of his lawyers and some of his volunteers and some of the organizations there, and it looked to me like a scam. So I will say that I didn't really ever support him, but I think a lot of people's views changed, after the neocons left office and after people realized that what the United States is doing around the world may not be helping. It may be hurting and undermining some democracies rather than helping them.
So one could say with a fair degree of accuracy that he's probably more influential than he should be in America. Anyway, we can chat about that in the next segment. We're done. Time for the news.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.